the deep field.
Welcome to the Deep Field. I'm Cole Chakey. To start, I want you to meet Brody Boychuk.
I met my college love in 2000 at Mount Royal College. Her eyes sought my attention. I think about her whenever the conversation about love comes up. We got engaged in 2002, but when her mom found out, she took her engagement ring away and tried to break us up because her parents and family thought I was kinda of a punk. We decided we were still getting married in 2004, but we broke up in 2003 because her family didn't like me. We didn't see or talk to each other for 3 years. I knew she still loved me and we wanted to be together. Then we started sneaking around without her family knowing. We dated for a full year until they found out. I thought they were finally allowing me to love her. We dated for 2 more years and we started talking about marriage. When I talked to Paul Brandt about singing at our wedding, they split us up again.
Brody's story had me thinking about those articles you read listing silly, outdated old laws. Now, this may seem like a non sequitur, but I swear it'll make sense. Our producer Laurel found me a Huffington Post article listing a number of these ridiculous old laws from the province of Alberta. Some highlights? In Wetaskiwin, it was once illegal to tie a male horse next to a filly. From 1927 to 1967, it was illegal for a man to drink with a woman in a beer parlor in our province's capital of Edmonton. And my favorite is this one. The Alberta Local Authorities Election Act says that if there is a tie in a local election, the returning officer will write each candidate's name on a slip of paper and, quote, draw a name from the hat. The name on the withdrawn paper is considered to receive one more vote. And hey, if it's good enough for a kindergarten class, why not our democratic elections? And when, you may be asking, did someone finally get around to updating this law? Well, they haven't. In 2013, 3 municipal elections were decided by this tiebreaker rule. In 2013, a councillor in Edson and 2 councillors in Red Deer County are right now sitting in chambers because they won a draw. And see, these laws are all well and fun until they start having a real impact on our lives. Now, there's another outdated, in my opinion, anyways, an outdated law that still persists in our province. Or, more specifically than a law, it's a section. Section 27 of the Marriage Act of Alberta. Now, I was exposed to Section 27 this fall when I was working with Inside Out Theater and Momo Dance Theater, 2 mixed-ability performance companies. We were making a play called Fully Functional, where my co-director Mark and I helped a cast of 5 performers tell personal stories about the wild and worried intersection of sex and disability. And there was dance, too, some really funny, sexy dance. Now, for the show, we worked with a group called Right to Love, which is a partnership between the Disability Action Hall and the Calgary Sexual Health Center. Thomas Polson was one of our performers and a Right to Love member. Here's how he describes the group's mission.
The Right to Love group is about advocating for everybody's right to love. So that could mean everything from going and presenting to using our voice in various forms of art to get the word across about what we think is everyone's right and how everyone's right should be respected and upheld.
And when we asked them what topics or issues we needed to include in our show, the first thing they mentioned was Section 27 of the Marriage Act.
Section 27.1. No person shall issue a marriage license or solemnize a marriage when the person knows or has reason to believe that there is an effect with respect to a party to the intended marriage, under either A, a committee, under the Mentally Incapacitated Persons Act, a guardianship order or trustee order under the Adult Guardianship and Trustee Act, or a certificate of incapacity under the Adult Guardianship or Trustee Act, unless a physician certifies in writing that in the physician's opinion, the party described in the subsection 1A and or B has the capacity to understand the nature of the contract of marriage and the duties and responsibilities relating to it, and when there is a trustee or guardian of a party to the intended marriage, proof that the trustee or guardian has been given 14 days notice of the issuance of the license or the solemnization of the marriage as the case may be.
We brought the act into rehearsal, and when we first read it to the cast, some of them felt, well...
I don't understand it, because it is in the legal language.
This is Galen Thompson, another cast member. In the show, Galen shared with the audience some of her romantic history.
Can you tell me how many times you've been engaged?
4 times.
Can you tell me about the first time you were engaged?
That was in high school. And it was Clarence. We were doing fine, and I picked out a song to use, but he thought I was cheating, and I wasn't.
Why did he think you were cheating on him?
I have no clue, but I wasn't.
What song did you pick out for your wedding?
I Swear, Zara Michael Montgomery.
Okay, so it didn't work out with Clarence. Tell me about your second engagement.
It's with Larry. That I run a big wedding and he doesn't. I run my father to walk him down the aisle and all he wanted to do is to put a ring on my finger and sign a piece of paper.
And why was it important to you that you had a big traditional marriage?
Because my family is scattered around. That's in Calgary and in Ontario and BC and Cape Breton, Halifax, Dartmouth.
And you wanted to bring them all together?
Yes.
Okay, so it didn't work out with Larry. Tell me about your third engagement.
Mike.
And what happened there?
We were watching a pay-per-view one of the nightclubs. We were having fun, we were eating, watching pay-per-view, and he got on one knee. Asked me to marry him, and of course I said yes. And we were like acting like friends, and we had to cut it off.
So it didn't work out with Mike. And I've never heard of this fourth engagement, actually. Tell me about the fourth and, for now, final time you've been engaged.
Seamus. That's a friend I know that we were talking, and we were talking about getting engaged, but he didn't buy a ring.
And Galen, for all of these engagements, what was the closest you got to getting married?
Very.
And Galen, with any of these engagements, did you get to the point where you and your fiancé applied for a marriage license?
No.
Recently, I was having tea at Galen and her mom Val's house, and I brought the Marriage Act again, and I also brought Thomas to help put the legalese into plain language.
Under the law in Alberta, you have to not only obtain your guardian's permission if you have a guardian, a legal guardian, but also you have to also get a doctor's note, a doctor's permission in order to proceed. So Galen, your doctor, who you might see one time a year, has the authority, has the power to say whether or not you understand what you are trying to do if you want to get married. Not only do you need a doctor's note or a doctor's permission saying that you can get married, your legal guardian also has to be given notice at least 14 days before the marriage takes place and say that it's okay before you can go ahead.
So Galen, now that Thomas has explained it, do you have a better understanding of what this law is saying to you?
that you have to get permission from your guardian and your doctor, and I think that's stupid. Everyone has every right to get married. If you're straight or gay or whoever, they have every right to get married.
When you were going through your engagements and you were starting to plan weddings and pick wedding songs and being proposed to, did you know any of these restrictions? Did you know about this law at all?
No.
The other person we have here is Val, Galen's mom. Val, I'm curious if before we started this conversation and we're exploring it in the show we did, if you had any awareness of this law.
Not at all.
Do you feel like there are any fair protections in this law that as a guardian to Galen that you're grateful for?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. There is one thing I'd like to address, is that you have to give the guardian or whatever 2 weeks' notice. If you were the guardian of someone that was deemed handicapped, I would hope that you were close enough to them that you would know that you wouldn't need written notice. That's... because if you're not close enough to know that, you shouldn't be their guardian. The seeing the doctor thing, like Thomas said, you see them maybe once, twice a year. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. They shouldn't be given that kind of power. And like Galen said, if you are labeled handicapped, does that mean that you're not allowed to experience love, to experience marriage and family? I'm not talking children, but I mean the family unit as one. I think the government's kind of maybe overstepping their boundaries by, I don't know, maybe a few yards.
To me, one of the most bizarre things about Section 27 is that it asks doctors to attest that they believe that their patient essentially understands what marriage is, the roles and duties and responsibilities of marriage, which I think is a pretty obscene position to put doctors in. But that notwithstanding, it's still an interesting question. And I ask Galen what she thinks marriage would be like.
Hard work. You have to be faithful to your partner. Love each other, no matter what. That's what I think about marriage.
Are you still holding on to hope that you'll still get married one day?
Yes. I didn't find him yet, but I don't know when, but let's hope I can get married.
I hope so too.
Remember Brody from the top of the show? Well, think back to his story. Up to a certain point, his story goes like this. A boy meets girl, girl and boy fall in love, boy proposes to girl, girl's parents disapprove. It's a familiar story. But how did this story end? Let's say it was Tom's and I who met and fell in love, and our parents disapproved. Well, in Alberta, at least, we could make the hard decision and disregard our parents' wishes and marry anyways. It wouldn't be perfect, but we'd be together, because we're adults and our parents don't get to say yes or no for us, let alone our doctors. But with Brody and his fiance, Section 27 says that choice is not theirs. Sure, the love is theirs, the act of proposal is theirs, but their legal fate isn't.
Our wedding was supposed to be on November 24th, 2010. I decided to call it off for good because I couldn't stand the vicious circle of being together and breaking up over and over. It's hard knowing that I won't be in her life, but I love her still.
If you want to find out more about the Right to Love group and how, if you should feel so inclined, you can add your voice to their call for revisions to the Marriage Act, you can find that info on our brand new Facebook page. Just go on Facebook and search for the Deep Field Podcast, find us, and like us, which I'm going to tell myself sounds more earnest than desperate, but please, just like us. My sincerest thanks to Gaylin, Thomas, Brody, and Val for being so lovely and open. And as well, thanks as always to Momo, Inside Out, and the beautiful people at Right to Love. The Deep Field is produced by myself, Cole Chakey, Anton DeGroot, and Laurel Green. Be a friend and find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Till soon.
Love is missing, my eyes are weeping. Hiding and I can't find it. I keep on searching all the time. I don't know what it should be so hard to find. I got no love and I don't mind, but what goes on around? My heart is beating.